This is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Listen to us or we'll move into your neighborhood. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome back to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Message line, if you want to call up, drop us a line, leave a message. 970-278-5791. We'll play it on the air if you would like. Visit us online at NativeTalk.net to download and listen to any of our past shows. I noticed my mother, I can see the video of her laughing, listening to our ridiculous liners.
We got an all-star lineup of liners for you today.
You like those?
Up with this stuff, you know, is it Brendan's like off the cuff humor or is it scripted?
Most of those actually were scripted from Clifton. The majority of them came from he went and hunted them down and founded a bunch of them, and then we collaborated together and wrote a bunch of them and we altered a bunch.
I subscribe to a service that is like for radio stations. It's the same thing I used way back in the old days when I did, you know, normal radio, and you could get these. Yeah. And you send them to your voiceover guy and he records them. So since Brandon's the guy, he does them. You know,
the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. You'll find it easier to listen to us with your radio on.
What? With your radio on. You'll find it easier to listen to us with your radio on. Why is this a joke? Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
It's not funny. It makes
sense. Come on, that was funny.
It was funny.
You're listening to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast, now cooked in 100% vegetable oil. Be sure to look for the new fat-free items on the menu. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
You know, just being silly. All right. So first thing I want to say, when I left Denver, I flew Alaska Airlines. That has got to be, I think, the best airline I've ever traveled on yet. That it's fantastic. So first I want to show you this picture here. Okay. You see what this is?
It looks like underneath the car.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a plug. This is this. Okay. Every seat has a plug that you can like plug in like your USB or like just a legitimate, you know, plug in the wall, which is really pretty fantastic. So, and I've never seen that on any other airline. And it seemed like the people there were like really like well-dressed. They were nice. It was cool. I had a fantastic experience on Alaskan Airlines, and they know how to hire their stewardesses because they are probably the best looking stewardesses I've ever seen on any modern flight.
Wow, that's not chauvinistic at all, Cliff.
No, Brandon, you don't understand. Okay, Brandon, here's what you got to understand, man. So other airlines, they hire flight attendants. Alaska Airlines, they hire stewardesses.
Is it because of the ratio of men to women?
Okay, they run most of their flights down here in the lower 48.
Is it to allure?
I don't know. It worked for me. I was like, you know, hello, look at these flight attendants, and I didn't see any men. You know, like on other airlines, they hire a bunch of men. What's going on these days? You know, I don't know. I'm just saying, Alaska Airlines, they know how to hire. So,
and yes, he is like this every week.
How many Alaskan airline flights have you been on?
Two.
Are you sure it wasn't just those two flights?
I don't know, but I've been on a lot of other flights, and I've never seen that quality of employee. And I went on two different ones, and they were different girls, and they were all much more attractive than the gargoyles you see on other flights.
I'm working on a serving your drink on the rock joke. It's not coming together, but it's rattling around somewhere.
Ew.
That's gross and inappropriate, Brandon.
I've been trying for a while to craft it, and it's not. So that was my best attempt.
Brandon, you don't need to be so inappropriate and off color.
Yeah, it's so vulgar to talk about these things in front of your mother. Jeez.
Right here.
So another thing that I noticed when I got up to the Anchorage Airport, it's called the Ted Stevens Airport. One of the first things you see is a bear. And this is a huge bear. Like, it's like 10 feet tall. I thought it was a grizzly bear. No, it's a world record brown bear. And what?
It looked white.
That's just because of the picture. It's on a normal piece of paper. I'm just holding it up to the camera. When you see it, yeah. Well, when you see it on an actual picture, or if I were to print this out on a photograph paper, it would be more. Yeah, just check it out online, nativetalk.net/Alaska, if you want to see better photos of these things. All right.
That's and, a terrifying bear, though. I mean, he can just have my picnic basket.
Oh yeah. He definitely can. I don't want to come up against that brown bear. The other thing I noticed is as I continued on, the airplanes just kept getting smaller. It was the first time I've flown on a propeller plane. They call this a turboprop. Okay, so it's still a jet engine, but they have a propeller. And then once I got to the town of Bethel, from there,
I thought they were villages.
Well, not Bethel. Okay, maybe Bethel is a village. I don't know. All right, but when I got there, I got on a tiny 4-passenger Cessna plane, and those things are fun because you feel like you're riding a roller coaster. It's like up and down, and you're like the plane goes down while you stay up. Because I guess when you're lower to the ground, you're more subjected to the winds, that are pushing you all over the place. And you can feel it for sure. So another thing that I thought was cool, they have a virtual museum in the Anchorage Airport. And you see things like this guy doing stuff like harpooning a seal. They've got that on display. They've got other things like... these people sleeping on the floor. I thought that was a really cool exhibit.
That's amazing. It's so lifelike.
And that is so you. I remember you went all around the world taking pictures of homeless people sleeping everywhere.
Yeah. These people aren't. Yeah. Well, these people aren't exactly homeless, but who knows?
They're in the airport, right?
Do you ever feel self-conscious? Holding a camera and photographing sleeping people. Like, do you ever think people are watching you thinking, what the hell is that guy doing?
Look, they surprised me. I was, I got there after midnight and I was like walking around looking at the, the displays. And then like in this corner, I'm like, dude, people. So no, I didn't feel self-conscious. I was just surprised.
That and it's I want to take a picture of that.
I'm still like, trying to visualize it. People in the airport, what?
And then they had like cool things like like seals and stuff. This is art that the Alaskan people throughout the entire state, all of the regions would do, and it's all on display there at the airport, which I thought was really cool. So
My favorite part about this whole story is that you've shown us like 10 pictures without describing like anything in the photos. We're doing just an audio program.
I'm showing you so you know what I'm talking about, okay? I didn't need you. Look, I described the fact that there's art there.
He's like, take a look at this photo and now this photo. And aren't those some great pictures? Look at this amazing one.
Well, isn't radio's basically a visual medium, right?
Remember, folks, that's nativetalk.net/Alaska.
And you can also see these photos. All right, look, all they have is like white carvings of seals and stuff and Eskimos who are like standing on a thing. You know what I mean? It's just,
well, that's why I said it was Amish, because there's no faces.
I understand better why you weren't describing
there that. Are faces. You just can't see them over the camera.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you'll see them better when you look online, all right?
Right, they're blind also.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so anyway, so I got to this little village of Bethel, which...
Town.
No, it's a village. and
he's easily confused.
Now I have I used to live in Russia, and I lived there for 5 years, and I had the
every day.
I've heard that.
What's
song
that?
Before. I missed you every day.
Why, thank you, Baba. And so I had a chance to take the Trans-Siberian Railroad. And you go down to southern Siberia, which is right on the border of, like, Kazakhstan and Mongolia. And so a lot of the folks down there have, like, this Central Asian look to them, okay? And most of the travel down there is via railroad, okay? So they have these tiny little rail stations, and that is dead on what it reminded me of when I was visiting the airport in Bethel, because it's the same. What's that, Brendan?
That because there was a Russian Orthodox church next to it.
That's not why, but no. But the Alaskan natives look very like central like Asian in their appearance. They have like this kind of appearance. And so it felt like I was back in Russia. The only difference is everybody was speaking English and all the signs were in English. And I'm like, wow, it to me, it felt like I was in another country, but everything's in like my language. And it was hard for me to believe that I was still in the United States. So
I remember a time when Clifton called me up just to be able to speak English.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So people around him could hear him speaking English and be impressed.
Well, he didn't talk about their Russian.
Reason? That was his reason.
Oh, my God.
I was
hearing
just tired
about
of
the
it.
Russian Orthodox Church reminds me of when I visited you in Russia, and we went into a Russian Orthodox Church, and I didn't cover my head because I didn't know, and Clifton did know that we're supposed to do that, and everyone's, like, staring at me and Kayla with our heads uncovered, and we're walking around, and I'm like, what is this place? I didn't even know it was a church. And everyone's looking at us, and Clifton's like, oh, no, like, they're fine. Just, you know, go take pictures. And we were being like, so rude, didn't even know. And then later I'm like, that was interesting. Like, why were they all staring at us? He's like, oh, I think you're supposed to cover your head. What the hell? Clifton, you didn't tell us that.
Well...
Now I know, but I didn't at the time.
It makes it so much worse that he knew the whole time.
Yeah, that was...
No, it wasn't.
You said he... Well, it was.
Well, he's
no,
not
he,
a female.
No, he knew that our heads were supposed to be covered. But we're just, like, you know, prowling through. And, yeah, he's like, you're supposed... Oh, I think you're just supposed to cover your head. So that's probably why they were staring at you.
Well, you're just breaking every foundation of their religion. So they probably didn't like it too much. I'll let you know next time.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah, I'm a horrible human being.
We're not supposed to take photos either, but they didn't kill us, so we're all right.
I took photos in that place. That's it's on Nevsky Prospect, which is the main road there in St. Petersburg, and the church that we visited, I know where it was. It was called Kazansky Sobor. So, if anybody wants to look that up, Kazansky Sobor, that is where Brittany and Kayla were in Russia. So, you know, fun stuff. So,
I have our picture up now. Like, don't let these two in.
Banned for life.
So, I mentioned that the river is the main highway in this region of Alaska. So, here is a picture. You can see it online for those of you who can't see this photo on your radios. But it's a river with a boat.
Wow, it looks like a river.
I can see the water and everything.
Does it? And I mentioned you in this photo that I'll also post online, nativetalk.net/Alaska, you can see the Russian Orthodox Church in the background, but the main point is the fact that, like, the road, like, looks very, you know, villagey, you know what I mean? So, well, it... As it was pointed out to me, it is a village. And so it was just the atmosphere. And I should mention this. Alaska, if you guys have never been there, it has like a totally different atmosphere from the point you arrive. Like the air just smells fresh. And
like gold.
Like what?
Gold.
Like gold. It does not smell like gold. It just smells like fresh air.
49er.
Now, the for those of you who are like want to check out our YouTube page, I'll be posting some video clips of this where you can see the photos. Wait. If you don't
you gotta warn people like about that stuff before they put their hair in a unicorn horn.
What?
I was wearing. Never mind.
Okay.
My hair was a unicorn horn for half the podcast.
Well, I'm not going to post the entire thing. I'll just post clips of it. All right. So you can visit us online, youtube.com. Just search nativetalk.net and you'll find our YouTube page. Or you can link over to it from the website, nativetalk.net, where you can see some of the videos. But I mentioned the homes. Just for your guys' reaction, look at the common homes that were there. These are houses.
I would live there.
I would too.
I'm not joking. I would live there.
Yeah.
I could see Brendan living there.
I totally would.
Sitting on the front porch.
Yep.
Smoking his pipe.
Damn right.
Yeah, and everything goes like so much slower there. Everybody's just relaxed. Nobody's in a rush or a hurry.
It's probably thinner, right? Because it's so high.
Yeah, that's where it's so dang fresh. Okay. Now, one of the nicest people that I met there. So, you know, I did my business. And beyond that, I just started wandering around the village. And nowhere I went, I walked longer than 5 minutes until somebody approached me and wanted to ask me questions. What are you doing here? Who are you? You're new in the village, you know. And this fella, I was at the native grocery store, and this fella, I mean, I was just walking along, and all of a sudden, I've got this 74-year-old Alaskan native who's just like in my face studying me.
He looks like the guy on the salt man, the fisherman on the salt commercial.
The what? I'm not aware of the salt commercial.
The salt man.
The salt man?
He looks like the guy who's like salty. He looks like the guy that has the insurance.
The Geico gecko?
No. He's like, it's like Progressive or something. And he's got the little dollar on the fishing line. And he's like, oh, you almost got it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway. So this guy, and he's short. He's probably, you know, just over 5 feet, maybe 5'2", 5'3", at the most.
They're just a little taller than you.
No. Another short man joke. I'm not that short. All right. Anyway, so this guy meets me, and I talk to him for a few minutes, and he invites me to his house. And so, of course, I go. You know, we had a great conversation. And he asks me, do you want to go on a boat? You know, a boat ride. I got a boat. Let's go on a boat. So I'm like, yeah, let's go on a boat. And he took me to a fishing village, which is, this is how they survive. Because everything in Alaska is like 2-3 times more expensive. You get a Kit Kat bar for like $4.99. You get, like, they've got bags of sunflower seeds for, like, $7, you know? And a Hot Pocket will run you as much as a box of Hot Pockets down here, you know? So they don't have very much money to begin with, so everything is so expensive. The only way for them to survive is to hunt and fish and gather berries. So they...
got into Clifton's shopping list.
Well, I have to remember that a Hot Pocket is not a pocket that's hot.
It's, come on, Hot Pockets.
You can just throw coals.
I don't eat Hot Pockets. Trousers.
I know, but you know, everybody knows what a Hot Pocket is. They even have them in Alaska.
Wow, I'm so impressed right now.
They're just really expensive.
Hot Pockets.
Yeah. We need to get advertisers. Alaska Airlines and Hot Pockets need to give us a call. At least a free pocket in the mail. Come on.
Oh my gosh.
Guy commercial. Yeah. Mom's talking about.
Yeah, Salt Man. Step up your game,
Mr. Salty. I guess it's peanuts.
Oh my
god, Mr. Planter, the Planter's peanut guy. Really? You look at this Alaska native and you see the Planter's peanut guy and you called him Mr. Salty? Really?
He doesn't even look like a peanut.
He doesn't even have a monocle.
He looks like an Alaskan native. my gosh.
Because I've seen a million. Yeah. Mama
so, sorry. Anyways, they catch these fish, and this is what you're talking, you know, tens of thousands, you know, even into like $100,000 worth of salmon that they collect, they dry, and they keep all winter long. And they've got these smokehouses. Now, imagine this smokehouse that is the size of a bedroom, okay? It's like an entire room that is dedicated to nothing but smoking salmon. Yep. And yummy. So, oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm impressed right now.
Oh yeah, I'm holding up a photo where you can see like these salmon just hanging. So they hang them from these branches, and they put the fire in these pits underneath, and it fills up the entire home. It's the size of like a one room cabin, and the whole thing is just filled with smoke. And they leave it, and they're out there working for weeks, even a month. Just processing, catching, and smoking this salmon. So it was, and it's delicious, by the way.
Propeller blades.
What's that?
They're hanging, it looks like they're hanging from airplane propeller blades.
No,
like
they're just straight sticks. And cool. So when you first show up, the first thing you see, you'll see a covered area, like think a gazebo, right? And there's a table there where they cut and, you know, gut the fish, slice them up, and they prepare them to go up. And one of the things that you'll also notice, and this is what you see as you're going along the boat, you'll see fish camp after fish camp after fish camp. And the one thing you see is outdoors, all of this salmon that's hanging there drying. And so I asked the question, I'm like, okay, so you've got this salmon that just like hundreds of pounds of salmon just sitting there drying in the outdoors. I'm like, how do you keep that from the bears? A bear can just walk up and just grab it. He says, oh, no, that's for the bears. I'm like, really, it's for the bears? And he says, yeah, if you don't leave salmon out for the bears, they'll just break into your smokehouse and eat it.
That makes sense.
And then you don't have any fish. He said it's happened to him twice that a bear has broken into his smokehouse, just kicked a hole right in the side and stole all his fish.
And, of course, you let the bear have his day.
Oh, yeah, no.
There.
I asked him, I said, you know, what happens if a bear comes, you know, while you're here? He goes, no, bears don't come when you're here. I'm like, they don't? Why not? He goes, because we'll shoot them.
Ah.
And they go in our freezer, and that's part of our meat for the winter. So the bears up there know you don't show up when the people are around because you're going to get shot.
So they're smart bears. Like a smartphone.
Smarter than the average bear. they know to stay away. They know to stay away. So yeah, you leave it out, and if the other bears get it all, then they'll just break in. They've got like this cabin that they sleep in, right? That they hang out in. And he said he came one day. He showed me there's a screen that was just ripped off. Said the window was knocked out, pushed into the house. There's like chunks of wood just ripped off of like any structure that's out there. He's like, yeah, that's bears. So that was
that's the one thing that I worry about Alaska, man, getting attacked by bears and meese. Terrifying up there.
Yeah,
and it's meese. So you have to watch them coming. It's like it's torture before the torture.
It's mooses. Brandon, mooses. Oh, right.
Mooses.
So after we left there, right, which was pretty cool. I thought the fish camp was incredible. And so we go from there to the Alaskan tundra. Okay. Now it's not frozen because when you've got summer all year long and all of the sun, it's spongy moss ground. Okay. So everywhere you walk, it's like you're not quite on a trampoline, but not quite like sand, but it's like, you know, mushy and springy, okay? And they go out there to collect berries. And they said a typical family will collect between 20 and 40 gallons of berries over the over the season, and they freeze it. And it's so weird because they have berries that I've never even heard of before or seen. It looks kind of...
Schnoz berries.
Yeah.
Tastes like
schnoz berries. Well, yeah, it felt like a Willy Wonka thing because it's like you're seeing things that you've never seen before. And so this berry, it looks... It's similar in shape and style to like a blackberry, but they call it a salmon berry because it is the color of pink salmon.
We eat those at the cabin in Tillamook State Forest. They're all over
salmon berries.
Yeah, they're like watery. They don't have a whole lot of flavor to them, but I would imagine if I ate like a big old handful of them, they'd taste pretty good.
Okay, well, these ones had a flavor because it was a flavor I had never tasted before. And so when they're giving me this salmon berry pie, I know, Brandon, we're almost done, okay? Brandon.
Kind of like talking to a kid in the back seat. We're almost there. Shut up.
I'm coming to the end of my story, Brandon.
Are you? Are you really?
Yes, I really am.
Lucky into the story.
I'm sorry you don't find my Alaskan trip interesting.
I do.
I'm falling asleep in the
I'm
boat.
I'm following
man.
Your every word.
Okay.
Springing on the tundra.
To go eat some salmon
like, berry. Kind of like on the moon, you know, you just kind of spring up and... You know, that's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, well, that's right. So anyway, these salmon berries, I went to this birthday party, okay? And but by the way, birthday parties there are kind of cool because people show up, they eat, they leave, they have no obligation to, like, hang around. You can just be like, you know, oh, happy birthday, give me food, see ya.
My kind of party.
Me too, that's my speed right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, there it is.
And people are just coming in and out, showing up, be like, okay, see you guys, and they leave. Common, normal. Everyday occurrence. So that's birthday parties there. And so they gave me
like all day long. All sounds day long. Like too.
Yeah, so they gave me this salmon berry pie. And I don't know if you've ever tasted something that you have no experience with, and so it's a brand new flavor. Your body's first reaction is to gag.
Yeah, spit it out.
Yeah, you're like, oh, because you're not used to it. But you know, what am I going to do? Offend these people that are being so nice to share their berries because they're telling me how hard it is to gather them, how hard it is they work for it, and they're sharing with me their bounty. And so I'm like, I'm choking it down no matter what. So I did.
I was in a class where we did like a little food pass around stuff. And this woman, I don't know what European country she was from, but she brought in this dish and it was like that. She was real effusive about how it's her favorite dish from childhood. And she's practiced her whole life making it. Here, take a bite. And I was in a whole circle of like six or seven people. And I took a bite, dude, I was going to puke. Like I was going to everyone in the circle. And so I just held it in my mouth for like 10 minutes. I said nothing. I just had this bite in my mouth. She looked back at me like six times. And I'm like, very awkward, very awkward conversation.
Well, I choked it down. And after a couple of bites, I got used to it. And I'm like, and really quick, I started going like, actually, it's pretty good. You know, it just takes time to like get used to. Yeah. To get used to this new flavor. And so when I was out there, I was like, you know, picking these berries, and I felt kind of bad about it because I'm picking blueberries and salmon berries, and I ate like half of them. Because I'm like, well, you know, they're saving them, but this is my only chance. And so I was just eating them right off the thing. So that was a really good time. And you know, so it was a really fun trip out there.
It sounds like a straight up adventure, man.
It was, and I got my business done. I met with the tribal council, and you know, we had our conversation. I'm going to do a little bit of stuff for them, and that was, you know, the primary reason. I didn't just decide one day, hey, I'm going to go up to Alaska. You know, there was a purpose behind it, but absolutely. Just an adventure, you know. So, if anybody,
thank you for sharing with us, man, I wish you would have brought some salmon berries back. I would have liked to eat that. Thanks for sharing with the whole class.
You are nowhere near where I am. You're in Washington State, and I'm in Colorado.
Hey, they can ship gooey duck to China. You can get a salmon berry from Colorado to Washington.
Yeah. Well, next time I go up there, well, you know what? They have airplanes. They have airplanes. Take Alaskan Airlines. You will not be disappointed.
Right. I'll have to take a few too many bathroom trips. Wink, wink.
Look.
Irritable bowel syndrome, you pervs. Jeez, don't judge me.
So you take, you go to the place I went was a village called Queethluke. So anybody can visit there. They like having visitors. Oh, and last thing I want to mention, they have a school in this village, $27 million to build it.
Whoa.
They have a $27 million school in a village of less than 1,000 people, let alone students.
They must be very proud of it.
Very. It's a beautiful school. It's got all the modern conveniences. You can fit the entire town in that school. I'm sorry, village. Every resident can fit in this school, and it's like, you know, from any kind of natural disasters, they've got generators that'll last for weeks. It's really impressive. So anybody who wants to go check it out, the people there are super nice. Walk down the street, and they will engage you in conversation. I couldn't walk down without having conversations with people, so.
I get stared at by a 5-foot Mr. Planters.
And if you do visit the Russian Orthodox Church, cover your head.
If you're a woman.
Correct. So, anyway, that's all I've got for today.
Don't spit out the salmon berries.
We'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. Give us a call, 970-278-5791. And make sure you share the show with your friends. Send them to our website, nativetalk.net. .net. Have a great day. See you guys next week.
Bye.
You're listening to the nativetalk.net radio podcast. A coffee pot, a working copy machine, and Cliff and Brandon on your radio. You're armed and ready for the day. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.